Live out of Miami, Fort Lauderdale. I'm actually in Miami, Fort Lauderdale anymore. I'm down south of Miami. Welcome to the Jersey Boys Sports Talk, hosted by Byron Jones and Victor Orocho, brought to you by The Sportscast. Today is August 4th, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to The Sportscast at all our channels. We have YouTube, hit your notifications. You have playlists for different NBA, football, Jersey Boys Sports Talks, which is NFL, Spotify, iTunes. And if you haven't yet, please subscribe to the Jersey Boys Sports Talk podcast and leave a rating. It'll help us out tremendously. We are always streaming live on Facebook and on YouTube every Thursday at what time, Byron?
8 o'clock, man. Eight o'clock.
It's amazing. 8 o'clock. Everything. Exactly. So please subscribe. We have some, we always have some latest updates. People submit items they want us to talk about and getting ready for the football season. So we're pretty excited right now about what's taking place. So Mr. Byron, you notice my background's a little different right now.
Yeah, sure must be. There ain't no crocodilies around there.
No, you know how you could tell? It was pretty interesting. I didn't realize this. A long time ago, somebody told me, you know how you know there's no crocodiles? Is when you see duck in the water.
Well, you see ducks?
Yeah, they were all out front, yeah. Well, ain't right now, but they're all around. So that's when you know that the alligators ain't in the water. Now, I'm actually at, I sold my house. We closed on a house super quick, bro. And then we're waiting to move into our new place in September. So I'm staying at my sister-in-law's down in South Florida. Oh, that's far. But so I figured enjoy the backyard and have a sports talk. And my wife told me not to get too excited, to keep it down for the neighbors. So she was trying to control that.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Hopefully a big Labrador don't start barking, but that's the deal. But it's actually nice. It's not as hot as I thought it would be. And I'm tired. It's been a long journey working and trying to sell the house. We sold it, bro, 2 days. Bang. It was awesome. Hey,
that's the way it's going now. Hot market.
It was hot, bro. So I'm pretty excited about that and the next chapter in our lives. And so how's it doing in Philly? I see you sweating there.
Yeah, it's hot, bro, because our air conditioner went out today.
Oh,
boy. And they're not going to get here till Tuesday. I even tried to pull the old guy, senior citizen. You know, I'm falling apart because of the heat kind of thing.
How about military? How about sheriff?
Nothing.
So why don't you go to your mom's or your sister's?
No, I'm good. I'll stay here.
Oh, man, let me tell you, when that happened, remember, that happened to me. I came down here. I couldn't do it.
Well, we got an air conditioner, like, you know, one of the big, you know, floor air conditioned stuff. So we put that up in the bedroom. So we're good. Mm-hmm. But I'll stay.
I can see you. I never seen you ever see it.
Sweating like a loss.
I don't think I've ever seen you do that during the show. Maybe once out of 2 years. So come on. Yeah. See what I mean? This dog is like Clifford. It's a I don't even know, he's a year old Labrador. And you know, Labradors are puppies for 2 years.
Right. You
know, so bro, wherever I'm at, he's like around. Right? I try to take a rest for 3 minutes. I didn't even get that. He scared me by barking. Can you hear him a lot?
Yeah, I can hear him.
All right, you gotta go inside. Hey. Man, this is gonna be tough, man. They got a doggy door, so I gotta figure this out. All right, so let's jump right into it. All right, I'm gonna move him inside, so you can still see me, right? So I'm gonna walk around. So let's talk to me about the mini camp. One of the topics we're gonna talk about is Giants mini camp, and then I'm gonna talk to you about any other stuff with Robert.
What do you want to know about the mini camp? The defense is ahead of the offense like usual. Thibodeau is looking pretty good. Evan Neal is looking like the typical new tackle. You know, he's had his problems. Daniel Jones has changed up and started to look a little better now since the pads have come on, because before it wasn't too good. They're saying that Saquon is looking explosive. And the Darnell Holmes, one of the cornerbacks, is really shining out there as the, you know, probably the third corner, the slot corner for the Giants this year.
So what's happening with why are you seeing with Daniel Jones?
Well, people don't realize. Well, you know, because you know you played the game.
It's a new offense.
Yeah, when you first get the camp, the defense is always ahead of the offense, always, because you know, offense, you know, a lot of timing and all this other stuff, and then defense, you know, is reaction. You know, you're reacting to whatever the offense is doing, so just naturally, the defense is going to be ahead of the offense. And you know, Daniel was looking; he wasn't looking too swift when the first couple of days, but now they got the pads on, and he's doing a lot better. Hooking up with Wandell Robinson, Galladay has looked good, so they're getting there.
I don't want to go on this again, but again with Caprara, that's why you said that. You know, when an offensive player messes up, you know what I mean. It's worse than if a defensive player worse. I mean, you just said it. Like defense gets to roam a little bit. You know what I mean.
So we're more reactive.
Yeah. So I mean, you have to get caught in a broken coverage, right? You got to admit that there's a lot of times where there's, messed up plays defensively that they just didn't catch it, or maybe you didn't always capitalize it. We only talk about the very few times and it's 6 points, right? But right. Offense has to click. I mean, people could get hurt if a guy doesn't pull. So anyhow, that was my argument. I mean, we could agree to disagree. It was just the point, but anyways. All right. So any other words with Garoppolo?
No, they pretty much put that to bed, because you got, he's $24 or $26 million, against the cap. We don't have salary cap money to get this guy. He would have to take a pay cut, or the 49ers would have to pick up a lot of his contract. And right now, no, that's not a good idea. I can see if Daniel was, really screwed up and just a hot mess. And you figure between the two of them, if they want to run the kind of offense that Kansas City runs and Buffalo runs, you have to have a more mobile quarterback. Daniel, one thing, he can run. Garoppolo is not going to be able to do some of the things that they want to do, with the offense they're going to run.
Yeah, but, like I said, I was just talking. I think I said it last week. I'm not sure, but I'm going to say it one more time. I just think that he had success in San Francisco. That's the first statement, right? Okay. And he had success against Murray, Russell Wilson, and Bradford. And then before Bradford, that quarterback is pretty good too, right? At least was a higher pick, was everything. They talked more about him. Was it Goff? No, Jared Goff? That was there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I look at it as if you take, those three quarterbacks and you had success, I think like those three quarterbacks, are way more, I think are better than the three quarterbacks he would be playing against in the NFC East.
Yeah, but you really don't know with him. He had, surgery on his shoulder. So, nobody's seen him throw.
Let's just keep that out for now. I'm just trying to put the logic. Let's say everything was equal, though, right? You're playing against – you got to agree that the quarterbacks in the NFC East, I don't know how many you would rank them over the quarterbacks other than Garoppolo in that division. Was that the NFC West?
Yes.
Right? Is that a fair statement? I mean, Tyler Murray's pretty good. How would you compare him to Dak?
He's better than Dak.
Okay. How would you compare Russell Wilson to Dak?
He's better than Dak.
Okay. How would you compare Stafford?
Bradford.
Better. Well, and then Stafford, what about?
Stafford. Yeah.
And what about Goff?
Goff is in Detroit.
No, but when he was there, because Stafford was there only 1 year.
I'd take Garoppolo over Goff.
Right. I'm just saying to you when he competed against him. So I'm just trying to put the comparison of the competition of who you're playing against twice and to have success against those quarterbacks, right? Anyhow, so we'll move on. But anyhow, that was my whole piece, you know, letting him trying to figure out how to get him there. But, you know, if it's a salary cap issue, it's a salary cap issue.
And then the other thing, the last thing is that Matt Cano, one of the offensive tackles that they signed, you know, like one of the first free agent guys, his career is probably going to be over. But he had a neck problem where he had surgery on his neck, I guess, last year and didn't play. So he's got the little tingling in his neck. So he left camp and he's probably going to be out. So now you have the rookie from North Carolina is now the swing tackle for both sides and also the guard. So he's learning all four positions from North Carolina.
For the Giants.
Yes, the rookie. Yep.
So now we're back to our offensive line.
Yeah, we're
a little bit of challenges.
Yeah, we're short one, and then Feliciano, the center, he just started practicing this week. He has some kind of heat issues or something, but basically means he wasn't in shape, but he got there, where they had to put, you know, Shane Lemieux, the guard, the guy that got hurt at center. They tried Brenderson at center. That didn't work. They tried Douglas at center. That didn't work. You know, Dexter Lawrence has been looking like King Kong, you know, the last couple of days because of guys that they had at center. So when they put Shane Lemieux in there, it pretty much kind of got stable. And it also helped that they did have a fight between Lawrence and Lemieux to get it going a little bit.
So let me ask a quick question. Go back to Garoppolo real quick, though. Right now, he's with San Francisco and he's got a contract. They still got to pay him, right? How do they get out of how? So what's the difference if they cover some of their contract? They're gonna be paying.
They trade him to the Giants, and they want to pick up $9 million, and then the Giants are gonna pay the other 15. They can do stuff like that, but I'm pretty sure, but I'm thinking that they don't want to just cut him and not get anything. That's what the whole probably issue is. So we'll see how that works. That's probably guaranteed the money. He's probably getting that regardless if he plays for him or not.
Right. So I guess just my logic would be, well, if you're going to, you know, I mean, get something for it in addition, you know, cut $15 million off your payroll. Right. Right. I mean, so it would be worth them to pick up part of the contract and help the Giants get them, because I don't know where else he would go.
So that's all they keep linking him to was the Giants. They say his agent has been in contact with the Giant front office. The front office is saying that they haven't, and it's been going back and forth like that all week.
Usually news don't come out. You know what I mean? Because what happens is they don't want to mess with Daniel Jones's head, right? It's got to be difficult.
No, not now.
Yeah. Well, let's move on because that could go on. But I'll take Garoppolo. Ain't no doubt about it there.
Yeah, right, so, I can.
And I'm just saying that. This wasn't a discussion before, so. Daniel Jones, I want to do well. We got the new regime, but you know, it's already been said that if he doesn't do well, then we're going to be looking for a quarterback or in the draft or whatever the deal is. And I just go back to that. I'll take a Garoppolo to compete against the quarterbacks that we have to compete against in the NFC East. I think he makes a difference, massive difference. And he's got winning in him from both, you know, Patriots and from San Francisco. So, you know, it's a different game. All right. So I'm happy about Saquon. Let's just hope he stays healthy, man.
Yeah, they said he's been explosive. They said, you know, he looks like Saquon again.
And that's got to say something, though, because of the fact that they're also mentioning that the defense is looking good.
Yep.
Right. So for him to be explosive against at the same time, while they're saying the defense is really just trying to light up the offense, that means he's doing something.
Yep.
Right. All right. So, now I know we got a few other things we want to get into, but all right, the Cowboys. All right. Let me just talk about what came up. Now, I don't know how far it is and so forth, but I thought it was just good for dialogue. And that's why I had text you. And it's funny. We text you about Odell Beckham. Okay. Odell Beckham, they said, in the Super Bowl. Right now, they is get up. So all the sports commenters, so, you know, people have a tendency to say they, and then you don't know who that. Okay, on get up, they said what I said before. I don't know if he was the best, but something was wrong in Cleveland that during the Super Bowl, he was the best player on the field until he got hurt.
True.
Okay? I'm impressed that you said that because you always give me crap about the Odell Beckham, number one. And number two, number two, right? That the Dallas Cowboys are looking to figure out how to get them, or possibly looking how to get them. And then what's crazy is that if they end up if they do get Odell Beckham, they could have kept Amari Cooper for less money. Amari Cooper is a good receiver.
He's hurt too.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. But he was a good receiver, though.
Yes, he is.
He put up some numbers. Amari Cooper is a good receiver. So I'm just saying, and he's already there. He's in the system. Dak's already lit him up for yards. It just seems weird to, you know, get rid of one player to go pay more for another player. Right. It just. Which I just wanted to bring that up, and the fact that Odell Beckham, you know, was performing well, and which is, again, I am still perplexed with how poorly they utilized him in Cleveland
because they didn't have a quarterback.
That's the dogging for Baker Mayfield. All right, we'll see. You know, well, yeah, it's true. You saw what happened with Stafford, and now Odell Beckham is still with the Rams, though. No,
I saw free agent.
He's a free agent, so that means he's not with any team, or he's with the Rams until he decides.
And guess who showed him some little love the other day?
Who?
Sean McVay.
Sean McVay.
He was showing up, the head coach of Rams.
Yeah.
As far as, come on, man, come on back, come on, we'll make room for you. Come on back. Come on.
Why wouldn't he? I mean, I would want to keep my receiver who produced. He put up some crazy numbers in 8 games plus playoffs.
Yeah, but he's not a number one receiver anymore because he's had 2 bad knee injuries. He's good, but he's not. He'll never be the same.
Yeah. Well, everybody gets older. But, you know, I think Sean McVay is going to do what he's got to do to keep as much as he can together, right? Why mess with a formula that was working?
Come on, OBJ. Come on back home, man. Come on. Because they got their loaded receiver. They got Cooper Kupp. They got Allen Robinson from the Chicago Bears as a free agent. And one of the receivers, I forgot the guy's name, one of them just got hurt. So, you know, Van Jefferson. He's already had knee injuries, you know, knee problems. So he's on the back burner. That's why OBJ came up with Sean McVay.
Yeah. Well, think about it. He was productive just with 8 seasons in a new offense with a new quarterback. Imagine you have him for a full season.
Yeah.
Right? But if he's with nobody, I mean, he's not even working out with a team yet.
Nah, he's probably, you know, he's working. I'm sure he's working out Florida, California, wherever he is, and you know, just you know, waiting to get that right contract, get that money.
Okay, we're going to get into some of the topics you have brought up. Okay, anything happening with the Eagles?
I got into it with these crybabies around here, man. They be killing me. The kid that they drafted, Jordan Davis, right, from Georgia, the one that's 6'6", 340 pounds, right? I got into it with a guy today because, oh, you know, he's a beast. You know, he's a big – I was like, dude, you have a guy that's bigger than him on that team right now, the left tackle, Mulata. Is 6'8", 6'9", 340 pounds. So if you think that, you know, the way he threw around, you know, these offensive linemen and the SEC and whatever he was doing playing, he only played two downs at a time. He was the, Butkus Award winner or whatever thing, Lombardi Trophy winner, whatever, you know, as a defensive lineman. But he's not going to do the same thing that he did at Georgia in the NFL. All those guys are big. All of them are big. He's going to be a monster. He's going to be a beast. And I had to sit there and listen to that and enjoy. My guy, Jalen Hurts, has been kind of a little shaky.
In what respects?
As far as not throwing the ball where it's supposed to be.
I remember that we were talking about that tackle last year. I like him. He's like new to football, isn't he? He's like a Samoan. Yeah,
he was a rugby player
from Australia, right?
And he's a singer.
Yeah.
Picture telling this guy 6'9", 340, 50 pounds that he can't sing. He's up on the stage. Picture what would happen.
Imagine someone, I think you'd just be in shock with it's no different than somebody really tiny or a young person belting out incredible tunes, right? But somebody that big and a guy being able to sing, it's just amazing. That's just unfair how some people get like so much talent, right? The ability to sing, the ability to play the NFL, you know, rugby. I mean, oh my God, you know.
It's like, picture him being able to play rugby as big as he is. Picture him running that on a rugby field, you know, with no pads on, no nothing. He's got a full head of steam running at somebody.
Mm-hmm. And rugby is all about pushing the pile.
Yeah.
you know, so
that's a big man. And you know, he came in and took over from, I think Andre Dillard was the first round pick that they had, the Eagles, that was the left tackle. And you're talking about a guy that was either a sixth or seventh round pick, took this guy's job. And yeah, now he's one of the best, you know, top five offensive linemen, you know, left tackles in all football. He hasn't really played that long.
No, he hasn't. That's what we were talking about. That's why I like that guy. And how about Washington for my boy Aaron?
Nothing.
All righty. All right. So let's get into some of the pieces that we moved a little quick through the NFC East. I'm excited to hear about Saquon, you know, the Cowboys. So we were moving, right? Bro, I'm cleaning out. And, you know, for years, I was a huge Sports Illustrated person, and I kept them all. Man, I got to show you some of the Giants stuff that I have, and when they won, I have some incredible stuff, like all the Chicago Bulls runs. I got the Lakers. I got Kobe. I got Bird. I got all the Yankees runs. I got, you know, when Dallas and these guys were going at it. I mean, it's pretty interesting. So, but it was pretty cool. I got rid of a lot of them, the ones that weren't. But that's when you saw I got Elway. I kept, like, Brett Favre. I got Tiger Woods. You know, just certain things that I thought were something that I just wanted to keep. But it was pretty awesome to see all of those and how much I have in one era, especially like I only found like six or seven with the Bulls when The Last Dance came out. And then when I now cleaned out the house, dude, I must have 15 with Rodman and all that, and have a lot of Kobe. So it was pretty cool to see that kind of stuff.
Did you keep those Kobe stuff at least?
Of course I kept Kobe. That's my point. Okay. Everyone I'm telling you are the ones I kept. It's the other ones I didn't. Right. I may have kept one. I have a few that I may just bring on the show. But like, I think we talked about like a Mandrich, like the guy, the busts. Right. And then there were some I had to get rid of, but it was ones where like we were talking about the schools that were quarterbacks were all coming out and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Right. So, all right. So let me go in here and, all righty. So let's get right into, since we're in South Florida, I'm in super, super South Florida. Hold on a second, because my allergies are killing me and I'm outside. I wanted to be outside and relax. So tell me, Stephen Ross.
What would you like to know? What, the slap in the wrist he just got? Well, let's see, they took the first round pick 2023. They took the third round pick 2024. They fined him $1.5 million. Then he can't go around a facility or whatever until October 17th. And that's all he got. You're talking about a guy that's worth, you know, they talked about this morning. He's worth $8 billion. Do you really think that $1.5 billion, that's a drop in the bucket. That's some check that he probably has lying around on his, you know, table. He should have got hammered. But it's, you know, they did bring in, you know, the independent judge, you know, a former judge or prosecutor, whatever, you know, female, you know, to oversee this, and, you know, so it's fair. Because they didn't want, Goodell to be the judge, jury, and executioner. But my question to you is, how is it that the employee, which is Roger Goodell, and I've said this before, discipline the employer, which is Ross, you know, who's part of that whole, you know, the 32, you know, team that own the team, how can he discipline any of them?
So your question is, Roger works for the owners.
Yes.
Yet Roger, you're saying, is disciplining the people he works for.
His boss, yes. How does that work out?
Well, I could just tell you my experience, right? You sometimes, there's a person that works for you, but, you know, like, especially if he's running a board and, you know what I mean, and you funded the board and the person, or your person's running a nonprofit, but, you know, they're the president of the nonprofit and, you know, these are all the investors. Sometimes it's their job to be able to oversee some of that in the best interest of all, because he doesn't work just for Ross. He works for all 32 team owners.
He works for all 32 of them.
Right. So he has a responsibility to keep that in line. Cause think about it, right? his responsibility also went as far as when Jerry Jones first came into the league and was starting to do those, you know, was starting to do those kind of contracts that were built around sponsorships. So he would work a deal out. Yeah. And, you know, Goodell had to step in and put a stop to that.
That was before him.
What's that?
That was Tagliabue.
Was it? Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's say it was Tagliabue. Okay. I'll give it to you, but it's the same. It's the same role, right?
Right.
So all I'm saying to you is the same role, regardless who it is. The commissioner's job was to prevent that. That's why, you know, when they get involved, it's starting to get dark. Shoot.
Okay. All right, here. Okay. This is where it looks kind of shady. Okay. So you have Robert Kraft was doing whatever he was doing, you know, as far as the massage parlor. You know, he was doing whatever he did, got off, you know, because, you know, he used money and, you know, influence or whatever. So he got off from that. So that's what he did.
They didn't even get investigated.
Yeah, then you have Daniel Snyder doing whatever he did. Right. Then he turns around. What does he turn around? Oh, it got real dark there. Then what does he turn around though?
Yeah, like he real fast. There.
Yeah, he was supposed to go before Congress, and he basically told Congress the first time, I'm out of country. Forget that subpoena. I'm out of country. So then you got two owners. Then you got Jerry Jones with the baby mama drama, whatever he had going on. So you got three owners that basically, you know, brought, dishonor or whatever upon the Shield. And what happened to them? The three owners?
Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Nothing. Because.
But, you know, at least Kraft, you would think that was going to be a federal investigation because they were talking about like what they call trafficking and underage. I mean, there was some serious stuff. And there was major players there. It wasn't just Kraft either.
Yeah, but what happened to him? Nothing.
Nothing at all.
And then you got Ross. Now you have Ross as the fourth one. And what basically they slapped him. That's a slap on the wrist. That's not.
But let's go right into Deshaun Watson then, right? So Deshaun Watson got suspended for 6 games, right?
Right.
But isn't there something else that's going to be coming down on him by the league or something?
No, because, well, the way it's set up, you know, she gives the 6 day, you know, the whatever he
6 games.
She gave them. And if the NFL doesn't feel that that's enough, they can appeal it, and then, which I don't know if they did today or tomorrow, whatever they're going to do. They had like 3 days or whatever it was for them to appeal it to see if he's going to get more, if he's going to get less. But they could put their 2 cents in, you know, as far as his suspension. I don't know, you know, if they did with him.
Well, see, my only problem, we could talk about that a little bit, but my only problem with that is that it's like they're not stepping in to do anything more further for Ross. Like he's like the player gets penalized, you know, for 6 games, then they want to step in and set an example and do more, right? And then a guy like Ross, that doesn't happen, right? So
I was looking at something today, and they sit there and said that they have 2 different rules as far as like with the players' conduct. Whatever the players do is separate from what the owners do. So they have like a whole completely set difference, the National Football League Players Association.
So
that's all over here for them. But then you have the owners, you know, they have to deal with, you know, basically Goodell, who's their, you know, underling.
And the funny part is that we thought Ross was getting penalized for the tanking, the 100,000 and all that. Now it comes out that it's minimal what they're penalizing him for, but at the same time, now he was tampering with Brady at Patriots and at the Bucks,
and Sean Payton. Yeah, and what's going to happen?
We'll get into that one next.
He basically got a slap in the wrist. You know, he's going to go on his yacht. You know, his 450-foot yacht down there, and you know, when I see you guys in October, he's going to go out and feels he's gonna go hang out somewhere, and it's nothing. You get basically nothing. $1 million. Come on, man. He's probably got a, like I said before, he's probably got a check later on his desk with $1 million on.
I heard Flores dropped the suit too.
And I ain't hear that one yet. But he basically feels that he's been kind of sort of vindicated, you know, as far as the way the whole thing went. The only thing I think he's probably upset of, that they really didn't say anything about the fact that with the tanking thing and the 100,000. They basically, you know, call the guy a liar, you know, what's the truth, whatever.
Right. Yeah. Well, so two things. One, you know, like I said, I didn't know what his win game was. So at least he got Ross a little bit, which is nothing. And then two, again, I'm saying, you know, dropping that lawsuit is going to open up the doors more for him. And three, him being with Pittsburgh is a great place for him to be, and being under Tomlin, even better.
Yeah, but it's, you know, not to keep harping on that. It's not right. You have four, you know, the four owners did whatever they did. Four of them. No discipline, no nothing, no dragging a name through the mud, nothing. Nothing happened to these four guys. But then you got, you know, Mr. Watson has gotten, you know, six games, might be more, might be less, or whatever. You got, I'm going to throw your boy under the bus, too. He knew it was against the rules for him to be on that bus, you know, boat or wherever he was, Tom Brady, he knew that's against the rules for him to be sitting there trying to make a side deal, you know, with his U of M alumni, you know, guy. So what's going to happen to him? He should get a little something, too.
But I read that the player can talk, but the others can't talk to the players. That's what I read. Because when you sent that out to discuss today, I read there's no ramifications for Brady because players are always able to talk to whoever they want to talk to. Right.
So it's okay.
But they can be poached by another team.
But it's okay for him to go sit there and have a discussion with the owner of the Miami Dolphins, even though he's playing with New England or Tampa, whoever he was playing with at the time. So that's okay for him to be able to do that. Or the fact that he was trying to get, you know, Sean Payton, you know, to come down to Miami, you know, to be the coach as well. Yeah, you know, and I don't know how far, you know, because they say that both of them have the same agents, I think, those two. And yeah, you know, I'm sure the agents, you know, probably have those side door, back door deals, you know, before, like, you know, when they have the free agency, all of a sudden the guy signed, you know, free agency starts at 4:00. At 4:05, you got 15 guys signing. It started at 4:00, but then how is it you got 15 guys that are already signed 5 minutes in?
Well, I mean, I guess that's where, like, you know, one now that I know they have the same agent, Peyton couldn't do it. But it's the players can. The players can talk to whoever they want to talk to, number one. Number two, you got to also remember, too, that they're alumni, right? They're Michigan alumni. Number three, Brady was trying to figure out what he's going to do after retirement, even though he got a $300 million contract for sports analyst. But, you know, him buying into a team is an investment piece. The next piece is, you know, you just said he's worth $8 billion. Well, Brady isn't. LeBron, you know, not has any balance or anything, but talks to Warren Buffett. I mean, if he talked to Paul Allen, that it probably wouldn't have been a problem because he's talking to him as long as Paul Allen wasn't while he was alive, stood talking to him. You know, you don't know what they're talking about for advice. What's the next steps? You know, because when you got $1 billion, it's a big difference having $1 billion and having, you know, 600 million.
Let's think about this. Why would you have the owner of the Miami Dolphins, you know, University of Illinois, you know, Michigan, you know, big time donor, be talking to Tom Brady, quarterback for, you know, New England or Tampa, whoever he was, you know, quarterback at the time, on a boat, and then you have Brian Flores come and like, whoa, I can't be involved in this. And next you know, he takes off. Why is that? You don't think he knew something wrong with that? He saw it.
Well, he knows there's something wrong with it because he can't, because it was riskier for Flores and it was riskier for Payton. Sean Payton wasn't on that boat.
No, I'm just talking about those two that were on the boat. And
right. What I'm saying to you, Flores, it was a smart move on Flores' side because if he was on that boat, it would have caused him more problems, right?
It caused him a problem. He lost his job.
He got fired or he quit?
He quit. Well, or did he get fired? I don't remember what happened. It's been so long.
Yeah.
Oh, I know he got blackballed. And then you have the other owners all in cahoots, you know, with this whole, you know, we're going to go, you know, talk about it again for a second. But Brian, you know, the New York Giants, it's sad to say, you know, they already had their guy they was going to pick. Belichick, you know, got the names, you know, got the Bryant wrong. You got the Denver Broncos, all these guys, you know, going with these farce, interviews. you know, for this guy, knowing that they who they were going to hire already. And the same thing's going to happen, you know, with the Cowboys next year. If McCarthy doesn't win, guess what? Sean Payton's getting that job. I don't care. They could bring whoever, Brian Flores, they're going to bring every African-American guy they could think of. Sean Payton's getting that job if he wants it. Or, you know, wherever, San Diego or wherever.
Well, let me ask you a question, though. Let's say you're an owner, right? And you want a particular player or you want a particular coach for your team, and he's not available, right? And you haven't put the stuff in pieces to make it available, right? When that person's available, like, you got to go through your process. But at the end of the day, if that's the one you want, right? I just sometimes I think I have kind of a little bit of a problem with that. Like, that's the one you want. I have a problem with if that's the one you want because of color, right? That's a problem, right? But I'm just saying, that's the talent, that's the person you want, right?
Don't bring me in as an African American or minority.
They're forced to. But look at Tomlin. Pittsburgh already knew who they wanted until they interviewed Tomlin.
Right.
So we don't know if that has happened before, right? Regardless of race, right? So let's say, you know, you're not a person of color. They think they already want Victor Orocho as their head coach. Okay. John comes in, or Joe Caprao comes in, and he woos them. You know, well, Victor Orocho, I'm Latin, man, I'm a person of color. But you got John Rondenberg and you got Joe Caprao, and they want Joe Caprao. And then John comes in and he wins them over, right? And they go with John. We don't know those things that happen because those never come up.
And it has happened in the past, you know, where, you know, this guy comes in and was like, wow, I didn't know this guy was, you know, he was like this. But don't bring me in for an interview when you know Sean Payton is getting this job. I'm talking about him, because when next year, when those jobs open up, he's going to be at the top of everybody's list. And they're going to be, you know, they're going to break, they go, oh, well, you know what? Well, let's go through a whole Rudy Ruling thing. They're going to bring all these African-American in, all these minority coaches and, you know, whatever else in. And then, you know, they're going to go, you know, 2 weeks, whatever, how long it take. Oh, yeah, well, you know, we're hiring a guy that we always wanted at the beginning, Sean Payton. You know, I would feel like a smug. You know, you're gonna bring me in there and basically, you know, I ain't getting a job. I already know I'm not getting it because this guy's getting it. I wouldn't even go.
So let me ask you a question. So, you know, me being in the recruiting world in the past, and some degree doing some of that stuff today and helping other companies, right? You know, they even said that sometimes the experience going in for an interview at a higher level position is worth the experience going in for a higher level position. Yes. Right. Yes. So, you know, you gotta be careful. The catch 22 is, I mean, I don't know which one's right. I'm just saying, I'm just trying to play the other side of the game. Right. I know the person already I want. So should I just shut down all the interviews? Right. Number one. Number two is, you don't know if, that guy, the position he's in as an offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator, because usually those are the positions, right? You don't know that now you're learning something from this guy, and he may be the next one that you want as the head coach. Or you don't know that, you know, wow, this guy is actually really good. He's still not my Sean Payton, but man, I would love to see, maybe he's my next offensive coordinator. Maybe he's my next defensive coordinator. Like, we don't know what happens there. Do I think there's some still, you know, bias? Yes. Okay. So I'm not going to leave that off the table. So by no means am I defending that. I'm just saying to you that I think sometimes it's worth interviewing. Like, you know, if there's an opportunity to interview for a CEO position and you know you're not going to get it, but they're willing to interview you, you know, that preparation, you got to be prepared. It's a different interview than, you know, as a coach, and you said it, it's a different, you're the CEO of the team. So interviewing as the CEO of the team is totally different than interviewing as the defensive coordinator or the offensive coordinator for the team. Right, that preparation, you probably have to talk to your friends that are head coaches. You got to talk, you know, you got to learn that process, right? What is it I got to go through? And what should I prepare and how should I present myself? And, you know, and probably do research on what their background is, you know, because you can't come in, you got to, would you agree with this? You can't come in as a giant coach, unless you're Joe Judge, but you can't come in as a giant coach and try to convince them that we're not going to play big people ball. Right. Right. Like Giants play big ball. Right. They're big. They like big line, big off defensive line. You know, it's that's the ball, the mentality of the Mariners and the Giants over history. You can't come in and say, hey, I want to run the, you know, the run and shoot. Right. Right. So you got to know that going. So I don't know what the answer is. I just think that I don't think it's good that just because they know the guy, they shouldn't interview four or five people. Right.
OK, here, I'm going to throw a monkey wrench in the whole thing. Eric Bieniemy, the guy Kansas City. There we go. I'm gonna throw it out there. Mm-hmm. This guy has probably been on countless interviews as far as trying to get, you know, to get that job. And because of whatever he may have or may not have done in his past, he keeps getting, you know, stepped over and, you know, shortchanged or whatever. But he goes on to interviews all the time. He has the best mentor sitting right, you know, probably right down the hallway from him, and you know, what's his name? Andy Reid, there's nobody better, you know, right now probably in the NFL, as far with a head coach and probably a good reference right there. But this guy still won't get a job, but they'll still bring him in for interviews, still bring him in, knowing they're going to give the job to somebody else. He gets done dirty.
Well,
really.
Two things, though, because I'm also going to throw a monkey wrench in your argument. You know, you've always made the argument, though, when I bring up Bieniemy, that he doesn't call the offense. Like, okay. He's like, you know, you gave it to Andy Reid. You're giving Andy Reid the credit, right? Yep. So I think that's an issue in itself, number one. And then number two, what I can answer, though, is why are they interviewing, right? Like, if in other words, if you're saying that and that's what people think and they feel, then why are you interviewing him, right? Because there's other African-American coaches out there or people of color. Why interview him? Don't just say, no, we don't want to interview you, but I want to interview Shaw. I want to interview, you know, Lovie Smith. I'm just saying, I'm throwing out names.
But they were told.
Ron Rivera.
They were told by the rules that they have to do this. So they're just going along with the rules.
I understand, you know, that, but they don't have to always do Bieniemy, though. I mean, he's gone out with so many interviews.
There's a bunch of them out there. It's a, you know, Byron Leftwich. Why didn't he get a job? What's his name? Bowles had to get, you know, he got the job because what's
his name? But Leftwich turned down Jacksonville.
Yeah, I would have turned that down, too. I would have turned it down, too. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but you see, you say that, and then the other day, last time when they got that Houston coach that was just a dead duck, yeah, you're like, but you said it's worth getting a head coaching position.
And you know what? He was 62 or 63 years old, and he's like, you know, this is probably my last shot at being a head coach. Yeah, he was an older guy. And, you know, that's my last shot.
You should have been a lawyer, man. You should come back. You got to come back for everything, man. And do you see my memory, man? You had said that. I go, dude, that's terrible. Oh, bro, you want to get that head coaching position. And you also said he's only 60-something years old. Yeah, so now you're saying
that for a bit to be a first-time head coach, that's older in the 60s. That is older. A lot of these, you figure, what, Pete Carroll, 70, Andy Reid is probably close to 70. Bruce Arians is close to, you know, that's not a young man's spot, you know, at that age. And, you know, this guy probably was thinking, I don't know if he was ever a head coach at, you know, any, you know, high school or college or whatever position the guy was, Houston, you know, Texan coach. So, you know, but like, you know what, let me go ahead and take this job. You know, that's probably my last shot. Let me get this big paycheck. And then, you know, whatever happens, either I can win, I lose, you know, whatever, I'm still getting $4 or $5 million and I'll move along. But he got screwed. He was just a crash dummy for a year, and everybody knew that.
Yeah, I think Leftwich is going to be a head coach. I truly believe that.
He will eventually. He's just going to pick the right situation. That's all.
I think Arians taught him well. One, two. I think that he's done a good job. Now he's also to some degree. Is working with the best in the game. So he's learning from Brady as much as Brady's working and learning from him. I think he's in a great position. He's going to be a good head coach, in my opinion. He's going to be a really good head coach.
Let me throw another wrench in that. Why didn't Arians? I'm just saying what I'll say. why did Arian step aside for him? Leftwich.
I brought that up. You're the one I brought that up. It was Bowles or Leftwich, which one it is. And I'm telling you, my theory, my belief, true belief is that, Arians was an offensive minded coach, and him and Leftwich and Brady had some issues. You know what I mean? So I just think that he was, but he mentioned he was always looking at Bowles first. So, I think Bowles was always ahead of Leftwich in that position. It's weird because he's an offensive coach, but I just
also the head coach of the Jets at one time. So he's had that experience.
Who?
Head coach. Bowles.
Right. And that's the other thing. He said head coaching experience versus the Jets. But I just think that I think he did it just because to keep for Bowles to be the, you said it, to put him the best success, right? To be a head coach is not to also have to be, it's to be the best head coach. Left to which it may have taken away from the offensive side of the game, which is where, Brady was having an issue. They don't bring up Leftwich. I guarantee you that Brady didn't mention that he was upset with Arians coming in redlining everything him and Leftwich did. On a second. Without Leftwich kind of feeling the same, but had to stay quiet. I can't imagine Leftwich didn't have a problem with
it. Okay, I'm going to throw this back at you again. We're just going back and forth like a tennis match.
Yeah.
What was better? Bruce Arians' title was what?
Head coach.
Okay. As the head, basically he's the CEO of the country, the team. So it's okay for him to redline stuff if he wants to, because he is the guy. It's okay. There's not a problem with it. He's the boss.
I can't answer that. I don't think I have a straight answer for that. But what I can say is that you have the greatest player ever, and
you said greatest player ever.
Mm-mm. He's greatest of all time. Mm-mm. Brady is not the greatest of all time.
No.
Who is?
Lawrence Taylor.
Okay.
He changed the way the position was played.
I get it, but okay.
He's the reason why.
That's how you feel, but right now everybody's calling the goat, and they don't say Lawrence Taylor's a goat. Gail, by me, Lawrence Taylor's one of the best football players overall.
They named him the best edge rusher of all time today, right? That came out. That was today.
No.
Yeah, that was.
But let me, don't throw me off. Okay, so he's playing with one of the best players ever. Okay, and his offensive coordinator, which he has to have trust in, and they're both putting in work while he's icing his ankles. Okay, I'm just saying to you that had to happen more. I don't. It's not worth getting into. I'm just saying that because Arians is gone, Brady came back. So I'm just saying to you. You can say whatever you want. Yeah, he was the CEO, but look how quick they get rid of the CEO to keep the player. That's my biggest problem with, like, regular business. A lot of time in regular business, when I had some clients that we were coaching and so forth, a lot of time they didn't want to get rid of the manager, or they didn't want to get rid of the senior VP, when that was the problem, not the players.
He stepped down on his own, just so you know.
Okay. Brady came back, too. Because on his own. Anyway, so let's keep going. All right, so you got Sean Payton, and we were talking about Sean Payton and Brady. You wanted to talk about that. Well, I guess we kind of talked about it. Was it more the tampering? What did you want to talk about? Them playing in Miami together? What?
Well, we covered all the tampering thing, them having the same agent. So, they had some kind of backdoor deal, and, one way or another, Sean Payton's probably going to be, coach of the Miami Dolphins or whatever. I could care less right now.
He needs to go to Los Angeles. All right. So, breaking news. Rob Gronkowski's girlfriend, Camila Acosta, does not think his second retirement is permanent. You heard it on the Jersey Boys Sports Talk.
Oh.
I've said it how many times? I'm telling you, the brother's going to come back. Okay. When? I don't know. But I know he's coming. His girlfriend is telling this. He's going to go and yell at her. And what is he going to do? She brings it out.
Okay. Here, we might as well make it all funny. That's his girlfriend, right?
Yes.
Girlfriends are only temporary sometimes. So by her saying what, I ain't going to guarantee. Probably in the next couple of weeks, you're going to hear about them breaking up because of her running her mouth as far as him coming back or not. Let's see.
Let's see.
I can see if that was his wife saying that or whatever. Man, that's his girlfriend, man.
I'm just saying to you, though, you know, what was her purpose saying it? Just to get time?
Like, yeah, you know, she just want to hear some speak. That was it. So
she also mentioned that he's been working out. He's been staying in shape. Yeah, you know, I'm just saying. Okay. I just want to throw it out there. That's all I want to say. I want to throw it out there. He's going back for his boy. Oh, he knows it. Yeah. He's going to come back. His boy's going to call. Yeah. And she even said, by the way, if it's his girlfriend, she has to know Tom and Giselle rather well. Is that fair? Because Tom and Gronk are pretty good friends.
They ain't that good of friends.
What do you mean?
They ain't that good of friends. They don't go over his house like that.
Oh, man. They're really good friends.
Oh, I forgot. You play golf at all, though. So.
They're really good friends, bro. Okay. They're really, really, really good friends.
That ain't going to be his girlfriend about another month or two.
So okay, I'll check on that in a month, and we'll see what happens. I'm saying to you is that she also makes the comment, Tom can be very persuasive.
Tom, this guy is having a time of his life, Rock. I'm sure he's at the beach. He's hanging out. He's partying.
What are you talking about? The guy was part of a CBD company or a cannabis company. I mean, he was chilling. He was saying he doesn't want to play anymore, blah, blah, blah. And he still came back. All right, I'm going to leave it alone. I don't want to go too long on that. Okay, do you want to continue with the Deshaun Watson? We covered that, no?
Yes, we did.
Okay, I'm going to give you one more break. I want to give you one more Brady piece. Okay, there is a news thing and a video that says that Von Miller stated he learned not to talk trash to Brady. So this was like another Michael Jordan piece. He said when they went like 23-7 or something, he made a fourth down play. He goes, "That's right, they're giving up. And then he goes, then it was third and something, and they didn't get it. See, I told you, they give it up. And he said that Brady looked at him, gave him a little wink in his eye. He says, all right. They went for fourth down. They got it. He goes, the next thing you know, we're on our heels reeling back, and they made the run back. He goes, I will never, ever advise anyone to, and this is Von Miller. This is your boy. He says, to talk trash. I'll send you the link. Talk trash to Tom Brady. And he goes, I'll never do that again. I will never, ever do. I should have kept my mouth quiet. I said, I was pumped up and this and that. It's okay to be pumped up, but I should never say something to that guy.
Man, forget Tom Brady, man.
I'm just saying, I just want to bring those two points up that because you brought up the Peyton and the Manning thing. So as I was doing my research on what you brought up, those other articles came up. And when I saw those, I'm like, oh, I got to get into these.
Why don't you just go ahead and get your Tom Brady jersey, which you probably already have.
I don't have a Brady jersey. Yeah, I got a Victor Rocha valuable assets.
I'm sure you got a jersey somewhere hidden.
No, I don't have a jersey. Actually, I got a Michael Vick jersey. That's just funny. I don't have Michael Vick. All right. We're about to get into wrapping up here. I thought this was good. What else you got? Oh, you have one more thing. Yes, I paused.
Yeah, the passing of Bill Russell.
Oh, man, yes.
88 years old. Yeah, lived a long, great life. That's my number one guy over Michael Jordan as far as the greatest player of all time. He was a team player, and he made everybody around him better. And you have Michelle Nichols from Star Trek, Lieutenant Uhura. She passed away, too.
Oh, really? How old was she?
Like 88, I think.
Yeah, I also want to give a shout-out to Nerida Flores. I call her Titi Neri or Nerida. She's from Perth Amboy. She's part of the Flores family, and I'm good friends with the Velez family. She just passed away like 2 days ago, and it was like a sudden thing. She had a heart attack. Her sugar levels were up. She wasn't someone to go to the doctor. So, and let me, you know, Byron, you know how there's just not a lot of people, but there are people that and no different than a shout out to always, you know, persons in my heart all the time, Mimi Serrano, Maria Serrano. I don't know if you remember her. She was 28 when she passed, but they were like, you know, these people just like, just the most kindest, considerate, loving people you meet. Like, you know, it's, you can have good friends and we get along and this and that, but someone who's just genuinely always just the nicest person you ever, you meet. You know what I mean? We all got our characters, and that was who, this lady. And that's who, you know, for me, you know, I kind of consider her an aunt, as even though we weren't blood, but she always, you know, treated me like a nephew. And, you know, I was pretty sad. You know, she was nothing but kind to me. You know, when I was in high school and out through college and after college. And I just wanted to, you know, God bless her, you know, Bill Russell and the lady from Star Trek, and, you know, just, it's a life happens. It's just crazy, especially when you don't know about it. Bill Russell was older, but man, Bill Russell looked really good too. In his last time seeing, I mean,
he was at the ESPY Award, or whatever.
Like, yeah, no problems. But you know, when you're getting at that age, you know, so hopefully he's rested in peace. And that guy was something else. He's great, stand up man of character, and just, you know,
activist, you know, great basketball player,
everything. He was everything. He's the ultimate ambassador as an athlete, and then as an athlete of color, especially playing during that time and for Boston and living in Boston.
Yeah, boy.
I can't imagine that was easy, because it's still rough there.
Then we have the one last great thing. Mm-hmm. This weekend, Washington Park, the all alumni Perth Amboy reunion.
Oh, it's this week?
This weekend, Saturday. Man. From 1 to 6.
I wanted to try to show. You know, I live right across the street. That's where I used to live.
Where it used to be the vote.
The basketball. Where the basketball court is?
Yeah.
My house I grew up with is right across the street.
Okay. Well, that's where they're having it this weekend.
Man, I wanted to go to that. I missed a few things. It's just a lot of things going on with the house, my dad.
Well, now it's called the Brian Taylor Park, too. Just now, so you know.
So they got rid of all Washington Park. They call it the Brian Taylor Park. Well, good. I think they should.
Yeah.
I mean, it's time, you know, for change. But all of us are always going to remember by Washington Park, though.
Yeah, that's all you
know. Dude, but when I was growing up there, Washington Park wasn't even the Washington Park it was. I'm talking, it was not good. Like, you know, I made friends with a lot of, like, bums and stuff that were like sleeping in the park, and I'm just telling you, bro, it was you know, growing up as a little kid, and like that was just like normal, you know. These guys were like passed out drunk, and like there was like 5 or 6 that would regularly sleep in the park. I'm telling you, that's what I saw. I mean, to me, it was just, oh, hey, that's so and so, that's the guy's named Punchy, the other guy's Willie, one was a superstar athlete. But just was an alcoholic, things hit his life rough, whatever. But when he came on the court, bro, that dude would hit, you know, Washington Park, when the old one, the basketball courts, that wasn't like a legitimate full court. That was like double the size.
Oh yeah. I played on that basketball court one time. I was like, man, this is too far.
It was not a regular long court. That guy would hit threes from half the distance of that court. I mean, this dude was incredible, incredible. So hopefully God rest. I know his family and so forth. And that's what we grew up with. But, you know, again, shout out to those people and bless those families. Send some prayers out to them. And hopefully, you know, they get some peace. And, you know, we go from there. All right, Byron. So we talked about a lot of different things this week. So I'm getting excited for the season. Let's see what's happening. See what happened with Jimmy G.
And tonight, don't forget, preseason game, Jacksonville. They're playing Jacksonville.
Playing
Chicago, so I don't know, somebody. They're playing at 1 at 8 o'clock.
So it's already on now.
It's already on.
All righty, so let's finish it up like we always do. Gary Sinise Foundation. What do you got?
Sam Mills gets inducted this weekend, Saturday, the Hall of Fame. It's this weekend in Shriman.
Oh, all right, we got to watch that. Montclair State, baby. Jersey.
And we're going to start rooting for Joe Klecko. He's next. Got to get him in.
We got to get the truck driver in. Freedom and security are precious gifts that we as Americans should never take for granted. We must do all we can to extend our hand in times of need, in times of need, to those who willingly sacrifice each day to provide that freedom and security. While we can never do enough to show our gratitude to our nation's defenders, we can always do a little more. Gary Sinise. That's GarySiniseFoundation.org. That's for our first responders, our nation defenders. Every dollar counts. So if you could help out, we really appreciate it. Please don't forget to follow us on Twitter at The Sportscast and visit our website at thesportscast.net. Don't forget, we got the Jersey Boys Sports Talk on iTunes podcast. Listen in. Go to YouTube, hit subscribe, hit the notification. You'll meet Brian and a lot of our crew come on and have some interesting conversations. Join us every Thursday. What time?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. I won't be in the dark next time. I forgot how fast it went. Dark quick. No, it went from light to like dark, and I'm in black and everything. So I was trying to do the Byron witness protection, you know, Byron witness protection program. Well, Byron, as always, it's great. I hope you at least you're making sure your wife is feeling comfortable. Take her to a hotel, man. So, you know, you got air conditioning. I'm telling you, man, that's crazy. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Fans and everything, I couldn't do it. So, all right. Well, God bless. I hope everything works out with your AC. We'll be talking soon. We're talking next week. And let's see what happens tonight. Who's the new coach over at Jacksonville?
Doug Peters.
Doug Peters. And then who's on Chicago that they're saying they're just excited about?
Eberflus. He's the guy that used to be.
But who's the quarterback again?
Oh, Justin Fields.
Justin Fields, that's
the, and he, that's what, and they have a new head coach. He used to be the DC for Cincinnati Bengals.
All right, so let's see how Justin Fields plays out and see how it goes. All right, my brother, God bless you and your family, the Jones family, and tell everybody I said hi at the reunion. And I used to school a lot of those brothers there on the Washington Park. I own that court, bro.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Listen to me. It was across the street from my house. That's all I did. And remember, they had that, by the way, that's how I busted my knee too, though. They had that one rim that was 9.5 and everyone had wanted to dunk. Well, me trying to dunk earlier than I needed to, when I finally got a dunk, that's when I busted my knee. So the one dunk I got, busted knee. Never should have tried. Just dumb.
There you go.
Stupidity. All right, my brother. God bless. Love you. And stay tuned. 8 p.m. next week. Peace.